The next LOS is to describe monetary and non-monetary benefits and costs associated with holding the underlying asset and explain how they affect the value and price of a forward contract. Consider first a case where there are costs of holding the asset but no benefits. The asset can be purchased now and held to time T at a total cost of the spot price plus the present value of the costs compounded at the risk-free rate, so this is the no arbitrage forward price. Any other forward price will create an arbitrage opportunity at the initiation of the forward contract. In a case where there are only benefits of holding the asset over the life of the forward contract, the cost of buying the asset and holding it until the expiration of the forward at time T is the spot price minus the present value of the benefits compounded at the risk-free rate. Again, any forward price that is not the no arbitrage forward price will create an arbitrage opportunity. Note the no arbitrage forward price is lower the greater the present value of the benefits and higher the greater the present value of the costs incurred over the life of the forward contract. If an asset has both storage costs and benefits from holding the asset over the life of the forward contract, we can combine these into a more general formula and say the no arbitrage forward price that will produce a value of zero for the forward at initiation is equal to the spot price plus the present value of the costs minus the present value of the benefits, all compounded to time T at the risk-free rate. Both the present values of the costs of holding the asset and the benefits of holding the asset decrease as time passes and the time to expiration decreases. So the value of the forward at any point in time equals the spot price at that point plus the present value of the costs minus the present value of the benefits minus the present value of the forward price. At expiration, the costs and benefits of holding the asset until expiration are zero, so that the payoff on a long forward position at time T is, again, simply the difference between the spot price of the asset at expiration and the forward price. For the next LOS, we are asked to define a forward rate agreement and describe its uses. A forward rate agreement, or FRA, is a derivative contract that has a future interest rate rather than an asset as its underlying. The point of entering into an FRA is to lock in a certain interest rate for borrowing or lending at some future date. One party will pay the other party the difference based on an agreed-upon notional contract value between the interest rate specified in the FRA and the market interest rate at contract settlement. LIBOR is most often used as the underlying rate. Consider an FRA that will, in 30 days, pay the difference between 90-day LIBOR and the 90-day rate specified in the FRA. A company that expects to borrow 90-day funds in 30 days will have higher interest costs if 90-day LIBOR 30 days from now increases. A long position in the FRA will receive a payment that will offset the increase in borrowing costs from the increase in 90-day LIBOR. Conversely, if 90-day LIBOR 30 days from now decreases over the next 30 days, the long position in the FRA will make a payment to the short in the amount that the company's borrowing costs have decreased relative to the FRA contract. FRAs are used by firms to hedge the risk of borrowing and lending they intend to do in the future. A company that intends to borrow funds in 30 days could take a long position in an FRA, receive a payment if future 90-day LIBOR and its borrowing cost increases over the 30-day life of the FRA, and make a payment if future 90-day LIBOR decreases. Note, a perfect hedge means not only that the firm's borrowing costs will not be higher if rates increase, but also that the firm's borrowing costs will not be lower if interest rates decrease. For a firm that intends to have funds to lend in the future, a short position in an FRA can hedge its interest rate risk. In this case, a decline in rates would decrease the return on funds loaned at the future date, but a positive payoff on the FRA would augment these returns so that the return from both the short FRA and loaning the funds is the no arbitrage rate that is the price of the FRA at initiation. Rather than enter into an FRA, a bank can create the same payment structure with two LIBOR loans, a synthetic FRA. A bank can borrow money for 120 days and lend that amount for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, the bank receives funds from the repayment of the 30-day loan it made and has use of these funds for the next 90 days at an effective rate determined by the original transactions. The effective rate of interest on this 90-day loan depends on both 30-day LIBOR and 120-day LIBOR at the time the money is borrowed and loaned to the third party. This rate is the contract rate on a 30-day FRA on 90-day LIBOR. The resulting cash flows will be the same with either the FRA or the synthetic FRA. The next LOS is to explain why forward and futures prices differ. Forwards and futures serve the same function in gaining exposure to or hedging specific risks, but differ in their degree of standardization, liquidity, and, in many instances, counterparty risk. From a pricing and valuation perspective, the most important distinction is that futures gains and losses are settled each day, and the margin balance is adjusted accordingly. If gains put the margin balance above the initial margin level, any funds in excess of that level can be withdrawn. If losses put the margin value below the minimum margin level, funds must be deposited to restore the account margin to its initial required level. Forwards, typically, do not require or provide funds in response to fluctuations in value during their lives. While this difference is theoretically important in some contexts, in practice, it does not lead to any difference between the prices of forwards and futures that have the same terms otherwise. If interest rates are constant, or even simply uncorrelated with futures prices, the prices of futures and forwards are the same. A positive correlation between interest rates and the futures price means that for a long position, daily settlement provides funds from excess margin when rates are high and they can earn more interest, and requires margin deposits when rates are low and opportunity cost of deposited funds is less. Because of this, futures prices will be higher than forward prices when interest rates and futures prices are positively correlated, and lower than forward prices when they are negatively correlated. The next two LOS address swap contracts. They ask us to explain how swap contracts are similar to, but different from, a series of forward contracts, and to distinguish between the value and price of swaps. In a simple interest rate swap, one party pays a floating rate and the other pays a fixed rate on a notional principal amount. Consider a one-year swap with quarterly payments, one party paying a fixed rate and the other a floating rate of 90-day LIBOR. At each payment date, the difference between the swap fixed rate and LIBOR for the prior 90 days is paid to the party that owes the least, that is, a net payment is made from one party to the other. We can separate these payments into a known payment and three unknown payments, which are equivalent to the payments on three forward rate agreements. The swap payment to be received by the fixed rate payer at the end of each quarter is the floating rate payment based on 90-day LIBOR owed at the end of the quarter, minus the fixed rate payment owed at the end of the quarter. We can replicate each of these payments to or from the fixed rate payer in the swap with a forward contract, specifically a long position in a forward rate agreement with a contract rate equal to the swap fixed rate and a settlement value based on 90-day LIBOR. For a one-year fixed for floating swap, the first payment 90 days from now is known at initiation of the swap, because the payment 90 days from now is based on 90-day LIBOR at initiation and the swap fixed rate, both of which are known at initiation. The second payment, 180 days from now, is equivalent to a long position in an FRA with a contract rate equal to the swap fixed rate that settles in 180 days. The third payment, 270 days from now, is equivalent to a long position in an FRA with contract rate equal to the swap fixed rate that settles in 270 days. The fourth payment, 360 days from now, is equivalent to a long position in an FRA with contract rate equal to the swap fixed rate that settles in 360 days. Note that a forward on 90-day LIBOR that settles 90 days from now, based on 90-day LIBOR at that time, actually pays the present value of the difference between the fixed rate and 90-day LIBOR 90 days from now, times the notional principal amount. Thus, the forwards in our example actually pay on days 90, 180, and 270. However, the amounts paid are equivalent to the differences between the fixed rate payments and floating rate payment that are due when interest is actually paid on days 180, 270, and 360. Therefore, we can describe an interest rate swap as equivalent to a series of forward contracts, specifically forward rate agreements, each with a forward contract rate equal to the swap fixed rate. However, there is one important difference. Because the forward contract rates are all equal in the FRAs that are equivalent to the swap, these would be zero-value forward contracts at the initiation of the swap. Recall that forward contracts are based on a contract rate for which the value of the forward contract at initiation is zero. There is no reason to suspect that the swap fixed rate results in a zero-value forward contract for each of the forward dates. When a forward contract is created with a contract rate that gives it a non-zero value at initiation, it is called an off-market forward. The forward contracts we found to be equivalent to the series of swap payments are almost certainly all off-market forwards with non-zero values at the initiation of the swap. Because the swap itself has zero value to both parties at initiation, it must consist of some off-market forwards with positive present values and some off-market forwards with negative present values, so that the sum of their present values equals zero. Finding the swap fixed rate, which is the contract for our off-market forwards that gives the swap a zero value at initiation, is not difficult if we follow our principle of no arbitrage pricing. The fixed rate payer in a swap can replicate that derivative position by borrowing at a fixed rate and lending the proceeds at a floating rate. For the swap in our example, borrowing at the fixed rate and lending the proceeds at 90-day LIBOR will produce the same cash flows as the swap. As with the forward rate agreements, the price of a swap is the fixed rate of interest specified in the swap contract, and the value depends on how expected future floating rates change over time. At initiation, a swap has zero value because the present value of the fixed rate payments equals the present value of the expected floating rate payments. An increase in expected short-term future rates will produce a positive value for the fixed rate payer in an interest rate swap, and a decrease in expected future rates will produce a negative value because the promised fixed rate payments have more value than the expected floating rate payments over the life of the swap.